Let's take our Bibles and let's be seated. Thank you. Got a short time. Let's go. Thank you. Oh, amen. Young people, you're the best. I love being with you. Thank you very, very much. Ephesians 4 in your Bibles. If you are a teacher or faculty member or staff member of the college, would you stand to your feet real quickly? Stand to your feet, all of our teachers and faculty members and staff members here. There is occasionally a time where someone cannot be in chapel, but I do work hard to try to insist that their employees who work here try to be in chapel on a regular basis. I appreciate that. I know it's not always easy for Brother Mark Pfeiffer to leave a project that he's working on by the lake, stop the world, and come down here for an hour from 11 to 12. And I appreciate that. Many of you who teach classes, it'd be much easier for you to go and then head off, go someplace else you need to go. Brother Bushy and Brother Gomez and others. I appreciate these men and women of God. I wanted to ask you, before we start our lesson, would you just look around real quickly and see somebody? Would you pray for them? Would you pray that God would bless them, these beautiful people over here, these ladies over here that teach our school, work in our ministry? Would you, girls, would you look over there and find one of them and pray for them? Ask God to help them. They're wonderful servants of Christ, and we're so thankful, the ones on the platform here as well as these over here. We love you. Let's pray for them. Well, can we do that? I'm just going to give a moment for you to pray. Someone tell me who you're thinking of real quickly. Who comes to your heart real quickly? Would someone raise your hand and tell me someone? Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Bushy, thank God for her. Somebody else tell me someone you're praying for, Evan. Brother Osgood. Leo. Brother Sparks. Good. Yes, Brother Sam. Brother Bushy. Julian. Brother Fish, Carlos, Brother Douglas, good. Who else comes to your mind? Cade, Brother Oswardi, good. Eric, Brother Gomez, good. Levi, Brother King, Mrs. Flesher. Jose, Brother Dominguez, Ricky, Miss JoJo Moffat, who's sick today, Rick, who? Brother Stubblefield, yes ma'am, Mrs. Pfeiffer, thank God for her. Father, thank you for these teachers and faculty members. I think if I kept naming young people, all of them would be mentioned, because they all matter to someone in a special way. They've shared their life and investment, some not just for a year, but for decades of time. I pray that we'd love them and help them, know them, and learn their ways and lift their burdens and love them for their work's sake. We pray you'd please bless them. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. We started last week, and it's the second verse, lesson I'm going to give you, and message on Ephesians chapter 4, giving worth to the ministries, principles that attribute worth to the work that God has called you. Let's read verse 1, can we please? Ephesians 4, 1, everyone together. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk. Paul says, I've been arrested by Christ. He has captivated me. I let him make choices for me. And as a prisoner of the Lord, and he was in a jail at the time, he says, I am pleading with you. I can't do the work that I used to be able to do. I can't get out there and be witnesses for Christ. I can't smooth things out in the work there. I can't practice this right now because I'm captivated in a jail cell. But I'm challenging you, I'm beseeching you that you give worth to the vocation and the work that you can do for the Lord. Right now, Miss JoJo Moffat would love to be teaching her classes, working her bus route, be in chapel today. She would love that, but she cannot. Right now, she is captivated by an illness and a hurt back. One day, you're going to have that situation. You're not going to be able to do what you can do now. But while you're in the work and while we can, he says, I want you to give worth to it. I want you to do it. Now, how do you do that? We talked about three things in the last chapel. Number one, with all lowliness. Verse number two. What's another word for lowliness, church, or a student body? Yeah, humility. You are a humble bus worker. You're a humble bus driver. You're a humble bus captain. You are someone who gives work to the ministry, worth the ministry when we're humble. Lowliness. Number two, meekness. Is whenever we don't have to have it our way. We are willing to adjust to another's pace or agenda, first to God. You know, I found this out, that God is not on my time frame. And I'm not supposed to get him on my time frame. Even my prayers are not trying to get my will done in heaven. It's trying to get heaven's will done in my life. When we pray, we're not telling God, listen, I need this and we need it now, and you better get this going. No, I'm trying to figure out what God wants to do. Trying to get heaven's will done in my life. And that is an element of meekness. Meekness is adjusting to God's agenda for your life, and then you'll adjust to your leader's agenda for your life. A wife, the Bible says, it's a meek and a quiet spirit that makes her so valuable to God. It's a great price. When she's willing to adjust, I live with a woman like that. I'm very thankful for my lovely wife, and every day she has been married to someone who has had lots of opportunities and responsibilities, and they tear me different ways sometimes, and I've got to learn to be a better husband and give more time, oftentimes to my own children, to my own wife. But so many times she has made adjustments to my pace or agenda. How many times she's like, well, John, what's your day like today? What are you going to do? And she adjusts her day so as to accommodate what God has called me to do. And it's a beautiful thing. And many of you girls are learning to do that, and you will need to learn that. There are other girls who do not learn that. I have a friend of mine, and he's a good guy. He does a great job. But he can pastor anywhere within a 100-mile radius of his in-laws. That is his wife's rule. She said, I'll go anywhere in the world as long as we're 100 miles from where my mom and dad live. If you can't find a church in that area, then too bad. Well, that's a tragedy. You know what that is? It's a lack of meekness. And that particular pastor, that servant of God, is going to be limited to do what God wants him to do because he's not married to a meek person. Meekness gives worth to the ministry. Lowliness gives worth to the ministry. And then we learned about long-suffering. Real quickly, there's two other ones that we'll share today. Would you look at verse number 2? Here's how we give worth to the ministry. Number 1, and the Bible tells us, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering. Read the rest of the verse with me. The next way that we give worth to the work of God, to your bus route now, to your school class later, to your mission field, to your church staff, to your church family, to your youth group, how can you give worth? You're going to forbear one another in love. You're going to have to find out what it means to do all your things with charity. The Bible tells us the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Young people, many Christians are lazy lovers. They don't love because it's too costly. It's expensive. What did it cost Jesus? It cost him this. Loving people is like walking through life with your heart outside your body and being okay with it. You get nailed. You get hurt. It hurts you to love. So let me say, I just don't want to love anymore. I've been hurt so bad. No. That's, you join Jesus' world. And forbearance means, in some part, for ahead of time, you're willing to bear. You've made a mental note to yourself, if this happens to me, it doesn't turn out right, they quit going to church, my disciple won't even answer his phone anymore, they said something ugly about me, I led them to the Lord. How many times I've sat with pastors and they say, you know, we had a family leave, and I led them to Christ. I married them. We spent hours working with them, and then they got mad because their teenager got in trouble at school, and they're going to another church. They left. He said, it hurts me so bad. But then I talked to them, and he said, you know, I'm going to keep loving them. They're good people. They got to just keep on going, and maybe that other pastor will be able to help them. I just hope they'll get into a good church. You know what that pastor's doing? He's forbearing one another in love. Your teachers, your colleagues, your other students, your roommate. You know what they need? They need someone in their room that will forbear in love. that will love God enough and love others enough to say, you know what, I'm going to put up with things. I think another word for forbearance could be used, putting up with junk. Just putting up with things that that you don't like. I got a pretty terse email recently, or a text message after a message. And, you know, I just listening to it, reading through it. But, you know, I remember the Lord helped me, because I got mad at first. That's not, you know, but boy, sometimes when people are hurting, they throw some pretty harsh accusations towards you. They use the word always and never, and you don't know what you're doing. And, you know, you don't care about anybody or whatever, just things that kind of hurt you. But you got to remember, where love is thin, other people's faults are thick. Where love is thick, other people's faults are thin. Can you help me with that? When love is, faults are. When love is, faults are. Yeah. When you're looking with someone, you always find critical things to say, and you have an angle for everything and a criticism. You know what you need to do? You need to get a lot of love. That's what you need to do. Love covereth the multitude of sins. Love beareth all things. It endureth all things. It hopeth all things. It believeth all things. It endureth all. It never fails. Say, Pastor, what are we talking about? I'm talking about giving worth to the work of God that He's called you to do. Be humble. Be meek. Be long-suffering. Suffer long with someone that's frustrating. And then forbear. Plan ahead of time. I'm gonna still love them. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take it on the chin. I'm going to understand hurting people hurt people, and I'm going to love them in spite of this difficult thing. The last thing, let's quickly go to that real quickly. Verse number 3, all the men, read it with me if you would please, men, ready? Ladies, read it please. Everybody read it please. This is a great verse of the Bible, and I think it's fitting that this is the last thing that he says in this context that help us give worth. Now, he'll explain why later, because we have one body, one baptism, one faith, one doctrine. He'll illustrate unity in a few moments. But he says, endeavoring. Tell me what the word endeavoring means to you. Someone raise your hand. What does that incline to your when you hear that? Yes, sir, Evan? Setting out to is a great way. Somebody else think of something real quickly? Yes, ma'am, Lily. Striving, that's a great one. Another one. Anybody else have another one? Yes, Lee. Working toward. These are excellent, excellent definitions. Striving for, working toward, setting out to do. Each of those things are very important. He says endeavoring to do what? To keep what? Unity in the Spirit. Of the Spirit. You know, one of the things we know about the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's unity. You want to find something that makes a difficult, tense situation smoothed out. You find that when you find someone who's Spirit-filled. They just bring a blessing. They don't bring complication, they bring a compliment. They don't complicate things. No, they help things go better. Why? Because they're Spirit-filled. The Bible tells us when we're Spirit-filled, we'll speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When you've got wrong kind of music, appetites in your ears and your desires, and by the way, young people at Howard Anderson College, we'll talk about this later this semester, but you have got to be careful with your music. And some of you, by the way you sing, I can tell what kind of songs you're listening to. Your voice is airy. You're sliding, you're going up and down, and no, so you don't have to do that on. And you're emulating a pop star rather than that. I'm not saying everyone's doing that, but you got to be careful. Music starts in the heart, and it's for the Lord. Most of us, we get all tore up because I like this music, I like this. And I tell you, there's nothing wrong with this song right here. There's nothing wrong with this song. I don't see anything wrong with it. It didn't convict me. And it's one thing, we have all that situation, it's all about you. You built it around what you want, how you like, what you like. Well, I'm from the South, or I'm from the North, or I like this, or I'm this. This is just our culture. Every once in a while, there's culture that plays into that, friends, but I'm telling you, some things are just right and wrong. And some things are just, you just got to figure out some, ask the Lord to give you some wisdom there. There's some songs, I don't even know what's wrong with it, but the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I really shouldn't, that's worldly at best. And I'd rather go in the presence of God glad I didn't than doing something I shouldn't have. There's nothing we'll lay aside for the Lord out of a genuine heart that we'll wish we hadn't done. You're never going to go to heaven one day and say, man, I could have gone to the movie theaters. Man, I already wasted my life down there. No, you won't do that. You'll say, man, I could listen to all that stuff. God didn't even care about that. You know, you'll be glad if you laid it aside for the Lord. A lot of things we hold on to. You know why? Because we're selfish as all get out. We want to please ourselves and not the Lord. But he says, endeavoring to keep unity in the bond of peace. One thing that really gives a lot of worth to the ministry is whenever you are a peacemaker. Some of you are troublemakers. You're not a bad person, but you're stirred up. You don't have peace of God. And wherever you go, you stir it up. You've got agendas. You've got thoughts. And nothing wrong with having thoughts. Nothing even wrong with having a way you would do things differently. But how you handle that is another thing. And you know why you have to endeavor? Because it's hard to do. Your room will not stay clean unless you work at it. My marriage will not stay what it ought to be if I don't work at it. If you're working at a marriage, it's probably working. If you're not working a marriage, it's probably not working. That's the same way it is with everything. Your attitude, you got to work on it. But unity is something, and whenever you can bring unity to a situation, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are people who endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond, and bond means a glue. A glue that just keeps us together. What is it? It's peace. He said, let the peace of God rule your hearts. Young people, today in closing, I just want to encourage you. Make sure that you, first of all, have peace with God. Make sure you're saved. There's two pieces in the Bible. Peace with God, that comes to salvation. The peace of God comes through prayer and submission. Whenever we pray, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Take our care and make it prayer. And then we learn to submit to the Lord. We can find peace. You know, you never have peace unless someone's stronger. You know, the way that we can have peace with ISIS. You know, for 8 years, ISIS was just a buzzword. Everyone understood ISIS. Everyone understood that thing. We heard about it every single day. We saw videos of people getting their head chopped off and shot and killed and people running around, ISIS, ISIS, ISIS. You know what stopped ISIS? Someone who was stronger than ISIS. Someone that punched them right in the snot box. Someone that poked him in the eye. Someone that said, you know, that's enough of that. And after I think it came in the form of President Trump is what happened. Because after that happened, that kind of went away. But you know how I can have peace? When he's in charge of me. When I let him rule my heart through prayer and submission. Bring peace. Don't bring drama. There's another great verse we may pick up another time. Thank you for listening. Let's pray together. We'll not have an invitation, but I want to encourage you to do an invitation of your heart. Would you please?